Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 133?
Am Are you I sure? Right?
I don't know.
I think.
Is it 33
we've been gone
or 34?
For about a week, so I think it's one. I believe it's 133 because it last was 132. I don't know.
That's else. All right.
How you doing, Mike?
It's 130. Man. I am doing great. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome.
We got somebody here with
us. Yes, we do, actually. We have somebody for... I guess I'll let you talk about it because now it's out and it's out in the world. So why don't you introduce her and explain what you guys do?
Absolutely. This is the co-host of Baptism, what is he, of Thrones, and that is my buddy Melissa Moon. How you doing, Melissa?
Hi, doing good. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I can tell.
I guess this is technically our first true guest on Heroes.
Yes. Yeah.
We've never had a guest on Heroes Asylum. It's always been on Midnight Movies.
Yeah, Midnight Movies is a place where everybody hangs up the cool kids. But we never got
we're not that cool here, guys.
I know. We're really not that cool. I am the uncoolest person you'll ever meet in your life.
So what we do here, guys, every week is we do our normal, we go over all the events, all the shows, anything fun that we guys, that we saw. And honestly, I do have something for you guys to talk about since it kind of ties in, but we're going to get to that one later. There is something that came out that goes down both of your routes. I'm kind of interested to hear what you guys have to say.
I want to know what this thing is now.
But yeah, I mean, we missed last week, so we're definitely going to cover Hawkeye. I mean, that's the one thing that, we definitely got to get that out of the way. But something did drop this weekend that was just like unexpected. Did you read anything about the Spider-Man?
No, nothing. Cause it was funny that, this trailer dropped cause I was literally looking at the Spider-Man 2 coming out next year for PS5 and PS4, which I don't have a PS5 cause I'm not rich, but I'm after, the 4, I have to get the one my daughter. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I saw blink up in my news feed and automatically I just shared it to the page. And then I was like, well, let me just watch it. I mean, and literally the first couple, probably minute and a half, you see basically Miles just lying down in the back of his head, just chilling. Then you see Gwen Stacy staring down and then it goes from there. And I tell you what, dude, I'm excited. I mean, the first one I love a lot. I think we actually have a Midnight Movies archive of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, yeah.
So do check that out. But to me, I mean, it's just the same beats, but it looks like it's just part one.
Yeah.
Part one.
Yeah. So it looks like there's more coming. I'm kind of curious. Are they going to continue it? Are they going to link it up with the multiverse? Or is this going to be, since this is technically only Sony, this is not an MCU.
No. I do have a theory about where they might go. So,
Melissa, have you seen that yet? The new Spider-Man trailer?
No, Into the Universe?
It's the sequel to...
Oh, I mean Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, this is called Across the Spider-Verse, not Into.
Oh.
Yeah, the prior movie was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So this is supposed to be a sequel now. Have you seen that movie yet?
Yes, okay, I love it.
So it's kind of picking up right afterwards. We're going to see Gwen Stacy or Spider-Gwen, as she's known, and then we see Miles. Miles was a little bit older, which I don't know if I was okay with that. This is animation. That's the one thing I will always give animation. Animation has the advantage of keeping their characters at a certain age. Yeah, so they could do Miles for freaking 20 years and not age him up. Now... my only reason is I'm kind of questioning that is because when you saw the beginning, it said, meanwhile, in another universe.
So maybe this is another Miles?
It is another Miles. Think of his room. Oh. You saw his room with all the toys. Oh, no,
because Gwen made a comment about the room, didn't she not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though the last time they were together, it was his dorm room. But in this one, if you remember his room from the first one, it had art on the wall, books. It looked like a kid, like teenage boy's room. This one,
there were
action figures everywhere, stuffed animals, stickers.
Action figure in your room, it doesn't mean anything. I have action figures.
Yeah, it was just very weird when you looked at the room and just how he was kind of hiding things. And then also his suit was different.
Yeah, it's a lot different. It doesn't have
They didn't have the webbing, it was still the black and the red, symbol on the chest.
Did he have a hoodie with the other one? I don't remember.
In the first one, when he started off before he got his real costume, he started off kind of with a hoodie. But that was a few things I noticed differently. And of course, we got to see Spider-Man 2099. And if anybody's, a 90s kid Kane and I were when it came into comic books, Spider-Man 2099 and the 2099 Marvel Universe was just so fun. I mean, they took the characters from now and they went to 2099 and what they would be in the future.
It was like the first version of like a Batman Beyond Marvel
basically,
version.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And yeah, I dug Spider-Man 2099 for the longest time. And then actually I saw him. What did we see? Did we see him in that animated series as well?
What? 2099?
The first Spider-Man.
I don't think we ever saw 2099. That I can never remember.
I thought he was in the last episode. Remember when they gathered all the Spider-Men?
Oh, you're talking, when you say episode, you're talking about the last movie?
Yeah, no, the movie, the animated series, I'm just thinking.
No, I don't remember him being there. I remember him at the end of the last movie at post.
You know, oh, okay. Credit. I was thinking about the OG animated series. If he showed up like towards the end when they had the battle of all the Spider-Men and
I don't remember.
Evil. By the way, if you've never seen the OG Spider-Man series, check it out. It is the bomb.
I think it's on Disney Plus right now. I think they brought in some of the
old. Melissa, have you seen that? The OG Spider-Man series?
No.
Oh my god.
The OG Spider-Man series?
Like the 90s?
Is it animated?
Yeah.
The animated.
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh my god, no. Melissa. It's on Disney Plus, you said, right?
I think a lot of the Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man, Iron Man, Fantastic Four from the 90s, X-Men, is all on Disney Plus.
Do yourself a favor. I will give you Mike's login to Disney Plus. Hey. Watch it. It is. No, but seriously, watch it. Like, it's like a lot of the stories that they adapted, like years before they adapted for the series, and they did it so good. Like, literally, like, it's the first time you're going to see Venom. At all, like this is the first time you actually see a character Venom animated or live action or otherwise. I mean, we got that later, but yeah, it's really well done, really well done. It's I thought for a while it's kind of like ahead of its time, but then you find out the X-Men came out around the same time.
So. Yeah,
is that where the meme comes out of where all the Spider-Mans are pointing to each other?
That's not the 90s. No, that was the 80s. 60s. See, no, it was the 60s.
That's 60s.
Because there's been a Spider-Man. Oh, wow. There's been an animated Spider-Man show for every decade. You had the 60s, 70s, 90s, 80s. I even think they had one in. I think it was Spider-Man and like Friends or something in the 80s. I think it was a mixture.
A Spider-Man is Amazing Friends. Yes.
That's one, yeah.
Iceman and Firestorm. Yeah. Ooh, that was my first crush, was Firestorm. She looked hot.
And of course, like with Gwen Stacy, we get Hailee Steinfeld, who is killing it right now as another MCU character.
She's crossing streams, by the way.
Yeah. Have you seen? Have you gotten a chance to catch Hawkeye yet?
Yes, I did.
Melissa.
Yes, actually, I just watched the first episode.
Okay, so you're kind of long. Well, I'll try not to spoil too much for you since you're just dipping your toes into it. But yeah, so we haven't even got a chance to talk about those first episodes because we sort of took a hiatus on Thanksgiving weekend.
Let's be honest, man. We were going to do it, and then we decided.
But that was the only thing that we were going to talk about, and it would be like a 20-minute show. That was
literally the only thing. We're just like, dude, we should talk about Hawkeye, the whole thing. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But
but basically, we're introduced to Hawkeye. He's like post-Endgame. You know, he's finally getting back together with his family that we saw during Endgame, and he's having a moment, going out and having a holiday moment because he misses all these holidays with his family because he wasn't just an Avenger. He was also a military man. So he was out, doing military things, working with S.H.I.E.L.D. But we're seeing the family together, which is awesome. And that I think that moment, like when he's at the was it, what was it called? Rogers, the musical.
Oh, dude.
By the way, my goodness.
I would like tickets to Rogers, the musical. I will take both of you with me.
So. There was somebody I followed that he said the same thing. He's like, I need that. I need that in my life.
I do too. If it came down here to Orlando, I would be at the Performing Arts Center.
Really? I watched it with my nephew, and while it was going on, he was like, "What?" And then, it plays a little bit longer, and he's like, "I need bleach for my eyes."
But it's a good way of showing kind of what Hawkeye's going through, this PTSD. He's having survivor's guilt because of him and Natasha, what happened during Endgames with Natasha. So he's having that moment. And I think one of the this is when I knew the show was going someplace a little different is when he got out of there and he went to the bathroom and that guy's bugging him. But when he looks at the urinal, it says, what if Thanos was right?
Thanos was right.
You know?
By the way, I want that mug. Thanos was right. Because you see it later on. I think it was in episode one. He goes back to Kate Bishop's aunt's apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because her apartment got blown up, and there's a mug. It says Thanos was right, so I want one of those.
And it's one of those things that a lot of fans are like, we kind of agree with what Thanos did. We don't agree with how he did it, but we agree with why he did it.
Yeah, why he did it, not his reasoning, but yeah, I agree. Like it was funny. Like one of the first things my brother saw that opening night, and of course I was still in summer camp, so he texted me, and he was like, "I was like, oh, so what did you think?" He's like, Thanos was right. That was the first thing he texted me with. I'm like, right? Guy's got a point.
Yeah.
Got a point.
But as you watch the show, or you'll see more and more of that kind of coming up, because it's really, you're seeing PTSD from his point of view, but you're also seeing PTSD from the rest of the world for the survivors of the snap. Yeah. Yeah. And they're dealing with their world and everything crashing around them. And then all of a sudden all these people come back, and what they had to deal with in the damage that they had to deal with for 5 years, what, we just forget about it and we move on? And we just, you know, okay, now it's about these people that were blipped out, or sorry, I said the word.
You said it, damn it, you're off the show.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know, you're going to see a lot of that, but... And you're seeing that with Hawkeye, his like constant back and forth with, he's not the hero. You know, to him, that was a job.
Yeah.
You know, he was part of S.H.I.E.L.D. He went in as a military guy, went into freelance, and that's his job. The other ones were heroes. You know, they chose to sort of be involved in this.
Mm. Yeah, I love that, especially when I think she's explaining it to her at the table. The table or the apartment? I forgot. Like, where she's mentioning, you know, oh, where are the Avengers at? Oh, they're over here. He's like, oh, are we going to go hide out in Avengers Tower? He's like, no, Tony sold that. Tony sold that, which is, I was like, oh, shit, they're the best. And then like, she's saying how she loves him and stuff like that. I love Hailee Steinfeld, by the way. She can do no wrong in my eyes.
I wasn't sure about her in this role, but she's just killing it.
Because I thought she was going to be the same girl she was in Bumblebee. I'm like, oh, man, like, I liked her there, but it doesn't fit here. But now she's sort of like that character, but she's a little bit
that snarkiness to her.
Snarkiness, yeah. That's what I like about Hailee. What'd you think, Melissa?
Oh, I liked it. I know after, you know, once it got to the end of the first episode, I was excited to actually play the next one. So I like it. I like that she came from a family that, you know, was just on the sidelines of, you know, one of their epic battles.
Yeah.
And she
kind
of took it on herself to protect her family, since she has to learn martial arts and archery and all that. So that's pretty cool. I liked it. I love her character. One thing, I don't remember Ronan. Can you guys explain?
Ronan was Endgame, or no? Yeah.
Ronan was the character that Hawkeye became, because he was so grief stricken that he lost his family during the snap. I'm calling it the snap, not the blip here ever. So anyway, during the snap, and he basically became this murderous type of killer. And then if you go to Shogun lore, Ronan means a lone Shogun warrior. You just know that. So he's like a more badass version of Hawkeye. He's just using swords. He just straight up murders people. That's all he is. He's a murderer now.
But if you're wondering where you saw him during Endgames, when Natasha goes to find Clint, she finds him in the Ronin outfit, in that ninja outfit, in the middle of the street when it's raining. If you remember, and that's where it's from. Yeah. Okay. So that those scenes you're seeing in the flashback is from Endgame, when he was the Ronin.
And by the way, Melissa, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but in that scene, it alludes to something else. If you keep watching Hawkeye.
Yeah,
it's mentioned again, but it's kind of like a cool little thing. There's a background speech that goes off, and then he alludes to that moment. So you'll see. Yeah.
There's a lot coming up. Yeah, especially because I mean, some other characters handed to the Tracksuit Mafia is a big one that comes in. All those guys
ridiculous.
Yeah. So then, of course, Swordsman, who we know, you know, Swordsman is what in the comic books, Hailee's stepfather or soon to be stepfather. He is called the Swordsman, and he is a main villain in the comic books of Hawkeye. Not here because, well, we don't know because where the number three ended, which was kind of interesting when you get to that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then what we see in number
three. You guys can talk about it.
No, we're not. No,
That's about it. I mean, that's where it ends. It's like literally like he comes around a corner. He's got the Ronin blade to his throat, and it's the Swordsman holding it up to his throat. And that's how the episode ends. You're like, oh, you son of a bitch.
I was pissed. Like, no. Yeah.
during number three, there is tons of hints of a possible return of another character. Kane is going the route less traveled, like he normally does.
I'm taking the pessimistic mark on this one. I'm telling you, they've
so
done it before.
It's hinted
in the past.
Heavily that. Did you ever, Melissa? Did you ever watch the Daredevil series on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. Well. There's a character that's introduced in the third episode. Actually, she's introduced at the end of number two, but at the third episode, Echo. She's a deaf villain right now. But so she's kind of like the evil one to Hailee's, you know, good Hawkeye. And Well, she was brought up in the comic books. Her adoptive father was none other than Kingpin from Daredevil.
Ooh.
All right. So through this whole third episode, you will see a white jacket, a white suit talking to her. But she refers to him as uncle. But the voice that you hear is heavily leaning towards sounding like D'Onofrio, who did.
I mean, I'm a little pessimistic about it, about who it could be, because I don't want getting my hopes up, because I got my hopes up on WandaVision, and then I was like, oh, really?
You got your hopes up on WandaVision. You got your hopes up on Loki. You rode the Mephisto
I exceed expectation. I'm like, dude, it's going to happen, and then
you
I believe
took the
it's
Back to the Future train all the way off that cliff with Mephisto. Just rode that bitch out.
I rode it. Like, I think every podcast, if you listen,
everybody
like,
was, yeah. Podcast,
I was like, he's going to show up. And you were like, maybe I could see it. You didn't hate it, but you didn't like it.
The first one, WandaVision. Yeah, halfway through WandaVision, I was like, oh, that could be. I see it because, again, Agatha was the wife of Mephisto's human form. So, yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm on board with the thought. But then there were just certain things started, like, taking a turn. I'm like, nah, they're not going that route.
No, they went the whole coven type
But, again, vibe. They never hinted at it. Only the fans went and brought this up and started this rumor. This is them hinting at it. They have never hinted at something and then done the swerve. And I think that would be bad of them to
do that. I don't know,
man.
Iron Man 3. Come on now.
Not really. No, because it was them.
Iron Man 3.
Not really. I don't see that one.
I'm thinking I'm going to get the badass Mandarin. What do I get?
But didn't it pay off in the end, though?
Yeah, it paid off.
But it took a decade, but didn't it pay off?
It's more than a decade, man. That shit was a long time ago.
So, but yeah, it's hinting too heavily. Like I said, I don't think they're going to tease that heavily to something, and then
it's going
to
be Hammerhead.
Yeah. Now you were saying, who was it? Crime? What? What was it? Crime Master.
It's going to be somebody like low key like that you don't even know of, or like go to the.
I think they're going because they're dealing with New York. They're dealing with the tracksuit mafia. This is everything Kingpin, and not only that, but look at where when you get to the episode, Melissa, you'll notice that there's a garage. What's the name of the garage? Did you notice it?
Do you notice the name of the garage?
No, because she hasn't made it to episode 3. I'm asking you.
Oh, shit. Oh, me.
Yeah, you. Because she's only watching episode 1. Name of the garage was Fat Man Automotive.
Oh. I didn't notice that. Did it say Fat Man?
It said Fat Man. Yes, sir.
Oh, I hope it's Kingpin.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, we all do. We want to see that return of Kingpin because if all of us have seen it, and I'm not just us, but I know a lot of other people loved that version of Kingpin because they've never pulled it off quite right. I mean, nothing wrong with the Daredevil movie. I think Ving did an amazing job.
Clark Duggan? Yeah, he did it. I thought he did a kick-ass job. But this is just like a different version of the Kingpin to me. Like, it's more Kingpin. He's more man-child, but he's brutal. He's intelligent. Like, dude, look at season 3 of Netflix. Dude, he was awesome. He was awesome in season 1, but I thought he was better in season 3 because he had planned the whole shit out with his escape from jail, you know, how he's going to get back. Like, literally, it was a Daredevil comic book that Kingpin, like, systematically destroys his life. Like, he reveals his identity to the world, destroys his building. That's basically what you got in season 3, which was so good. Oh, I'm going to have to rewatch that now.
Definitely. So, what do you got, man? I know I hit the latest one, so what do you have?
We mentioned the Spider-Man trailer, did we not?
Yeah. Okay. Spider-Man got Hawkeye out of the way. What about Wheel of Time? You know, I know you've caught up. Melissa, have you gotten a chance to watch Wheel of Time at all?
Yes.
How many episodes?
If there was one, I think I'm on the fifth one.
Okay, so you're caught up. Okay. Did you see the big crying fit at the very end of the last episode?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all dressed in white.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're caught up. All right. Yeah. I want to make sure. Yeah. All right. So since you guys are, you know, your podcast is about Game of Thrones, and so many people are equating this, and I hate it when they do it, but they're equating this to Game of Thrones. Because
I wasn't procrastinating. We should have done Wheel of Time. Listen, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll still do
it. So what did you I know Kane and I have talked. What about you, Melissa? What's your feelings from Game of Thrones so far? Or Game of Thrones. See, Wheel of Time did it.
Wheel of Time. I can see why they relate it to Game of Thrones, but I don't think it's anything like it, honestly.
Right.
I like it. On the first episode, it took it took me a little bit to get into it, honestly. But by the second, third, definitely fourth, fifth, I loved it. It grew on me. I guess just trying to see where all the characters are going and get a feel for all of them.
There's a lot of characters. Yeah, I've read the books. All right, and I've read these recently. Unlike the Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones had been a while since I read it, but no, these are fresh in my head. Yeah, there is literally 14 book series. So to let you know how big this is. That Game of Thrones is only like I think a 6 or 7 book series. So there's like 2,000 plus characters in the Wheel of Time. So yeah, they've cut the fat out. Some folks are doing double duty in their characters. Some aren't even there. They're like, hey, you know what? It's not that important right now in this story.
They sort of combine characters.
They're combining characters. Like the very first scene in number one where we see the Aes Sedai, the Red Ajahs, track down those two guys. And then you find out it's only the one guy. That scene happened book. Like we figure that rule out by book around book two. But that what happened in that scene alone answered so many things that took chapters to explain. So I think what they did by jumping right to the reason, hey, this is why the Aes Sedai track down these men because they have powers. And so I think it was a good start. But I was the same way. I wasn't a fan of the first episode because it was a really rough start.
You know what? Honestly, I didn't read the books. I didn't like the first episode either.
A lot of folks did. It was a really rough start. And being somebody that read the books, it was really rough because I had to deal with the fact of, well, they're changing shit. What's that? Why are you doing that? And then just the rough start. But then now they've picked up the pace. Somebody posted something online. It was a picture of a horse. And the head of the horse looked like a 2-year-old drew it. And then the neck of the horse looked like, I don't know, a teenager drew it. And then the body of the horse looked like, you know, somebody had been studying a little bit, had, you know, drew it. And then by the time it got to the ass end, it was like Michelangelo drew it. They were saying, these are the episodes of Wheel of Time. It started off so bad. But by the time you're getting to the fifth episode, it's really coming together. And the pieces are now connecting.
I love the fact that you're like defending so hardcore on this book. And, you know, I don't like the change. You bitch at me when they do something with Batman. I'm like, I don't like the way they did that. You're like, well, it's just in this universe. He's like that. You pulled that cop card out.
I had to pull it on myself. I pulled it on myself, dude. Trust me. I did. Because as soon as I got done with the first episode, I was like, what the fuck was that? What did I just watch? And then I was like, then I had to step back. I was like, well, there's 14 books. They're probably only going to do maybe 6 episodes or 6 seasons. So they got to cram a lot in here to tell the
– How many episodes per season?
I think 8 or 10, I think. Let me see here. Episode list. 8. Yeah, they're doing 8. Bless you. They're only doing 8. So again, you know, that's a lot to cram in. And my understanding was the first season was going to be like a book 1, 2, and a bit of 3. And it looks all book 1 right now. And they're almost at the end. You know, we're at – yeah, we just hit –
Well, we hit 4?
Yeah, we're 5. Yeah, without blood calls. Yeah. So we've got 1, 2, 3 episodes left, and it's just like, oof, we're going to see what they do. But
the one thing I do like about these is they're not short episodes. I think they're all about an hour each.
Well, yeah,
sometimes one of them is like an hour 5. Yeah, that's what I dig about it because it's 8 episodes, but you get like each of them for 1 hour. So that works for me. I'm good. I mean, I didn't read the books like you did, so. So far, I like what I see.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, if you guys like the books, like the one thing that the book one starts off very Lord of the Rings, like the kind of the setup structure, a group of people, group of kids, young folks from a small town have to go on a big journey. And then they, like, even there's some rhythms that, like, they cross a river. You know, if you remember the Lord of the, the Fellowship, they had to cross that river, same thing. And then they broke up at the very, you know, towards the end. Same rhythm. But as soon as that rhythm stops, it goes off on its own little journey. Robert Jordan, the writer of these books, you know, he was influenced by Lord of the Rings. Guess what? So was Tolkien, or not Tolkien, so was Martin. I mean,
everybody was influenced by Lord.
And so there's going to be rhythms of Lord of the Rings, but then once they take that structure and move on. It's just like George Lucas always talks about Star Wars. There's rhythms. Well, start off with the rhythm and then branch away. I mean, that's what he did. He looked and he took this you know, archetype of, you know, the chivalrous knight and this young boy, and, you know, he made that journey, but then he went off on his own little tangent. And that's kind of what Jordan did.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, so far it's great. I can't wait to see what more they do. The only one I was kind of iffy on was Loial, because Loial is described the big hairy guy that they met in the library.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I was like, he's one of my favorite characters.
I liked him.
But he's not what he's awesome. Described. Like, he looks like it, but he's got in there. He's got bigger ears because he would see emotion in the ears. You know, a lot of in the books. Mm. He was supposed to be the size of the Trollocs. That was he was supposed to be kind of their size.
Oh, like a giant?
Bigger, yeah, much bigger, yeah. But that's what they did, the voice. I heard a lot of people complaining about the voice, and I was like, I listened to the audiobooks. Audiobooks are like, that's what he sounded like.
I mean, yeah, he's a cool character, and I like the other Aes Sedai chick. I forgot her name. She's the one in the green that she likes the other dude from Moira.
Oh, you're talking Nynaeve.
Anive, yeah, she's cool. Like her.
Yeah. Well, she's not quite Aes Sedai. She's getting ready to become a learner, and that'll pick up here soon because she'll get in there. But yeah, her and Lan eventually become connected. Like, yeah, you feel like there's a lot of sexual tension between Lan and Moraine, but that's not it. It's a brother sister thing with them.
I didn't feel no sexual tension between those two. Like the other ones,
like the first episode, they crawl into the same bathtub together. That kind of, I was like, what are they doing? Where are they going?
Friends do that all the time, dude.
Right. Lan and Nynaeve. They have some chemistry, right?
There is, yeah. That's something that's going to continue. But there's a lot going on. I don't know which route they're going to go. They are showing more adult situations, because in the books the kids were just like in Game of Thrones, the kids were like 14 and 15 in the books, and the same thing with, you know, the Wheel of Time, the kids were 15. So that sexual, you know, thing you saw between Egwene and Bran, they didn't have sex, they weren't betrothed, they were assumed to be betrothed because they both loved, you know, got along with each other a lot. Mm-hmm. But there was never that true connection that you saw in the first episode. Mm-hmm. But because they aged everybody up to 20, I guess they kind of had to throw it in there. So when I watched, I was like, okay, I'm okay with that, because I did age them up. I get it. And like I said, they did it with Game of Thrones too.
Yeah, they did for Game of Thrones. I mean, you told me that like the characters were like 13, 14 in the books.
Some were 13, 14. Yeah, I think Arya and Bran, I think they were like not even in their teens yet, you know, so it's... Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, yeah. That's again. They aged everybody up in the Game of Thrones, and so they did the same thing here. So, looking forward to see where else they go, and I'm loving it. And it looks like they've gotten signed up at least for one more episode or one more season. I'm sure they're supposedly, I've heard through the grapevine, it's 8. Some of the areas I've read have been 8. So,
we sign it up soon. I mean, it's pretty popular. I mean, divisive, yes, but people are still watching it. So.
And again, the biggest thing between here, I think you and I talked about it in the green room, the difference between the books, the biggest difference between the books in the movie or in the show is that the dragon is a man in the books. Mm-hmm. Women have pure and total control. Women control the power, control the magic. They're the only ones that get to the source. Every once in a while, a man can touch the source, but he goes crazy and starts using his powers for evil because he doesn't know how to use the source. Mm-hmm. So when they talked about the who is the returning dragon, they hinted at the women. I'm like, well, that kills the whole concept that women are in power in this world.
And actually, they might be a little bit too powerful.
But that's how they were. That's the book, and that's what throws me off. It's like in this day and age, we want to have, you know, women power and showing that, you know, that they're equal. In this book, made back in the 80s, they were all about power. They had everything. They had and it was the bad man that was coming up trying to put, you know, you need to put him down. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see. I'm sure – I don't think they're going to change it. Who becomes the dragon, I know, is going to become the dragon. I don't see them going any other route.
I mean, as a guy who didn't read the books, I mean, is it a swerve who the dragon is? It's like something – somebody didn't
From what I've seen, yes, because they don't hint at it at all. But in the books, if you read the books, you just get so much hint. You're like, oh, yeah, I know who that is. Okay.
Okay.
And we're getting little hints of Perrin, by the way. In the book, guys, Perrin's my guy. That's who I love. He's awesome.
Yeah. Is that the redheaded guy, or we haven't seen him yet?
No, he's the one that's with Egwene right now.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. He's the one that got his back cut up.
Ooh,
and you saw his eyes. Yeah. And he saw his eyes go yellow, and the wolves start freaking out. Yeah, you get to learn a little bit more about that. His eyes eventually are supposed to turn yellow all the time, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
For the first, like, what was that? The fifth episode, the first four. I'm like, he's just there. The first episode that was crazy. What he did to his wife? What?
And that's not even in the book. He didn't do that. He was really? The blacksmith. All she was a bar girl that he had feelings for. They weren't married at all.
Wow.
But they had that to was do a, so, yeah, they had to do something.
That was impact seeing that shit. That was like, what?
Yeah. Right? As a reader, I'm like, what did he just do?
What?
That cut me deep.
Like, wow, I didn't even know who this chick was, but I cared about life.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes, exactly. Me too. Brought tears to my eyes a little bit. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
I think you knew her for like 5 minutes. And you're like, man, I like her already. Yeah. And then she dies. Like, whoa.
Yeah, but in the books, he's the blacksmith. And that's, you know, and shit, like I said, she's just somebody he has a crush on. Later in the books, he comes back to the town and he sees her again. And it's like she's kind of moved on with her life. But by that point, he's found somebody else who's don't put up with his shit. Uh-oh. I mean, yeah, no, this the girl he ends up with in the books don't put up with shit. She calls him out on all his stuff. And I'm looking through the. I'm looking through the cast right now, and I don't see her anywhere in here. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
If she's going to show up or not, but if she does, it probably won't be until next season. So I'm okay with that. But
all right,
So what else you got there?
I got guess what? I found this one pretty interesting. I think most of you will too. Sylvester McCoy, aka the Eighth Doctor, is going to be Grandpa in the new Monsters movie. For Rob Zombie.
Was that like, him? What? Okay, I didn't even look like him. I saw the pictures.
That's McCoy, man.
Oh, okay.
That's him. I thought that was pretty freaking wild.
I gotta be honest, dude. I am not looking forward to this.
I'm not neither, but all. I think it's cool to have him in it.
Nothing about this movie. And I've always kind of liked to see what he can do. And I've just nothing has...
I know, but they haven't shown anything yet, so you don't know.
He's doing the Munsters?
Yeah, he's doing the Munsters. Yeah. Oh,
God. Well, I mean, it makes sense. He's a fan of the old Monsters, the old Addams Family. He was all about the cheesy freaking, you know, B movies and stuff like that, the horror stuff. I mean, that's kind of what he based his career off of. I mean, he did a song called Dragula.
Yeah.
Makes sense for him to do it. You know, if his song's not in there, I think that's a complete crime.
Oh, dude,
it's got to be in there.
It's got to be. It's going to be all zombie. You know that. It's gonna be
I'm excited, entire. Actually. I used to watch the Monsters all the time.
I just hope Rob uses this doctor better than they're actually using the doctor in this season of Doctor Who. Because, I just finished, a little segue. I just finished season, I think it's the last season of the Doctor. I think it's four or five. I think it's four. Anyway, finished it. Dude, I got to say, she's awesome as a doctor.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
She's awesome, right?
I've heard it's either showrunner or whoever's writing it is.
The writing for her is awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Oh, they had a little tirade I was texting most of today about. I was like, dude, what? It's like they treat her like strictly as a woman when she should be treated as the doctor. And that's the problem. Like, holy cow.
Oh, I haven't gotten up to them. I've been slowly, like very slowly catching up
to them. If you watch it, man, she was okay. The villain was terrible because nobody knew who the hell it was. Second season was awesome. That was the master. Best season they had. And they came back with something else and then like this. Okay. I don't know.
I was actually reading a lot of comments and a lot of people like Flux. A lot of the fans like
that. Really?
Why?
I thought it sucked. That was so strange. Like, you know, it's like these weird aliens, we could stop shit, and then the weeping angels are there, but they're not there. And then the doctor has a mom, like, whoa, what happened? Like, oh, can you choose the world or choose your memories? Like, dude, this is who the hell wrote this shit? It is so just goofy. Nothing like go.
I did like the lost child, that whole storyline. I just think they didn't execute it well. I even like the swarm guy, except too much glitter. Why'd they make them so glittery? And
I don't know. It was strange choice. Like, they look kind of scary, but they have glitter all over. So I'm like, are they from the 70s, like new rave punk or something? Like,
that's what I'm saying. They're like, strange. Oh, she's a woman. Let's pinpoint. Okay, girls like glitter. Let's make the enemies glittery. And I'm like,
it was just strange. It's just strange. The whole season was daffy like that. Like, what? Oh, it's just a flux. I'm like, no. Doctor Who has to make somewhat sort of sense. And they make the doctor a bitch. Like, seriously, I mean, she's a woman, but damn. Like, she, the most intelligent being in the fucking universe, excuse my French, can't outthink anybody. Everybody outthinks her.
Yeah. That was a problem, too.
Like, every season, like, oh, I got you again, Doctor. Like, everybody dupes the doctor.
Right. And that's usually, it's just the master, because that's what makes the master so different. They, you know, their level, they're, you know, 1v1 kind of intelligence.
They're like, yeah, they're 1A, 1B. I would think the master's a little bit stronger, but he's more crazier. Mm-hmm. And the doctor somewhat is crazy, but he controls that shit. That's like the big difference between both of them. And that's the reason that last season of Doctor Who worked a lot for me, was him. Storyline, no, it just wasn't there. But and like I said, she's going to finish her run, I think, with 3 episodes next year. They're specials. And by the way, why are the Daleks coming back again? Mike, the season ended today. It was like season finale. They're like, they teased the next episode. And like literally last year, like the last year's episode was called Revolution of the Daleks. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. It was cool. I liked it. But now... they released another trailer for next season. It's the Daleks again. I'm like, okay, well, did we just do this last year? What is it called?
Well, isn't the Daleks?
Well, isn't it, I mean, isn't the Daleks basically kind of like Star Trek's Borg? I mean, you got to have them at least in one season.
Yeah, but like back to back. I don't know. I want to show.
Well, maybe it won't be a back to back. Maybe it'll just be one episode where they come in for one episode and like they did, I think, on what was it, the 3 doctors ago, like they found the Daleks. That was somebody was like holding it hostage.
Oh,
and it was only on. I think they only had one episode with the Dalek in that season. And I like, to me, that was fun. It was kind of a fun little nostalgia thing. So maybe they'll do.
I think that was season 3.
Right, but Mike, we already had an episode with Daleks already, so it's kind of weird that it's another.
And literally, like, the same time frame. It's like last year was Christmas, New Year's Eve, and now this is the same. Like, okay, well, wait a minute. When we meet these guys, like, 6 episodes ago, we're bringing them back? Just a little wonky. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the writing for her just been so bad. And, like, they should all be fired, man. It's like, that's not Doctor Who. Guess what? I want to call myself bullshit, too. That is not Doctor Who. That's not the essence of Doctor Who. You know? I don't know. Female power of writing. It's just a little wonky to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, I mean, if they, they didn't write it like a doctor, they wrote it like a female.
That's right. They wrote it as a female, not the doctor. And it was the biggest problem I had. I was like, that's the doctor's always dumb. I didn't get it.
So did either one of you guys see the, there's a book that's coming out here soon. It's a new book coming out called Tinderbox. And it's kind of like, it's based off of, it's called Tinderbox, HBO's Ruthless Pursuit of New Frontiers. And basically they talk about the initial prequel fantasy that they were going to come out with Game of Thrones. This is the one I want to talk to you guys about. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to originally start Naomi Watts, and they spent $30 million on production and to do a pilot.
But it never got filmed.
Nothing ever happened with it. It got pulled. It's different from the new one that's coming out. There is a new Game of Thrones coming out, a prequel. This one's, that's the House of Dragons that's coming out. That one, I think what they're saying is the biggest issue was the source material that they were using was not Martin. The House of Dragons they're using the source material is
the House of Fire.
Fire and Blood. It came out in 2018. So they're kind of using that as sort of the grounding point for that. But
didn't they mention that in one of the episodes of Game of Thrones?
Well, they talked about it. They were all sort of talking. Well, they talked about the history So, I mean, it's, yeah, they all kind of covered the history a little bit, but now we're actually going to see it. But yeah, I mean, $30 million on something that just like dies.
Wish, yeah, I don't mind the House of Targaryen era we're going to, but I really wish they would have done like the, I'm not sure if you've seen the novelization online, like before Game of Thrones, like the whole war and shit. I would have hoped they would have done that series. Because I think that's right before the OG one ends, and then you're going to go back to the past, find out about like the Baratheons and all that. I mean, that's cool. Like, what happened to the Mad King? How did he get so crazy? See, like a young Jaime Lannister and all them. That would be kind of cool to me.
Well, from what it's saying here, that like, reportedly, like the House of Dragons is going to be the show's developing. It's going to be following the seafarers, the corals of Valyrian, aka the Sea Snake, who we saw. Or they mentioned him, and also the legendary warrior princess Nymeria, mm-hmm. who Arya based her direwolf the name off of.
Oh, okay.
And then also it says the poor residents of Flea Bottom. So that's kind of some of the areas it looks like that they're going to kind of cover in this one. So it's not all Targaryen. It's going to be a mix. We're going to find out, you know, how the Valyrian got their area and their sea, and you know, and real ran that. So we're definitely going to see some stuff on there.
You probably see House Baratheon there.
Well, we're going to see the houses. Well, not probably Baratheon, because remember, Baratheon wasn't really a house. He was the one that took over and killed the Mad King.
Oh, that's right.
You know, he was just a soldier and a general. You know, he just happened to be the one there to, you know, stab him and kill him. But you know, yeah, we'll probably see Stark, because Stark did have a house. We'll probably see you know, the House Tullys, and we'll see the houses and the families. But like I said, I mean, definitely they're talking, you know, here, you know, visiting the Sea Snake and seeing the princess Nymeria, you know, so we're going to see kind of like, well, why did Arya, you know, why does she want to name her wolf that? And we're going to see kind of that
story. You think we see Belron, perhaps?
Maybe.
Or is Belron already dead by then?
I don't think it's going that far back.
Because Belron was alive for a while.
Yeah, I know, but I think it was like 300 years. We may. Yeah. Remember, I mean, they did say that the last dragon died like a generation before the Game of Thrones.
So it makes sense, like, time-wise. He could still be alive, just a lot older. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the other ones we saw in the other series were, you know, you just saw them being birthed and all that. But, like, he's been around for, like, Belron's been around for a while.
Yeah, so we may see those. You know, you never know. But that's where they're, like, looking at. I just thought it was interesting, like, you know, $30 million on a failed pilot is just shit. That's.
Can you give us $30 million?
I mean, this is crazy to just say, oh, we're not going to do it now.
$30 million?
Wow.
God.
Yeah.
What a. Dude, I'm crying every morning just when I lose $20. Like, imagine 30? Holy moly, man. What do we got here? What do we got here? Did you see these posters for Spider Man? No Way Home, the villain ones yet?
Yeah, I did see some of them. Yeah, it's again, there's so much getting thrown out there, dude. I'm not even. I've now unplugged myself of anything Spider-Man for this. I'm not what I've seen so far. I'm done. I'm not even gonna look anymore. There's too much out there and too many what ifs that are happening. No pun intended. But
dude,
just waiting.
There's so like it's the what ifs for this movie are insane. I think, like, literally, if you look online, Twitter, Instagram, any of them, you'll see, like, literally, like, these suggestions. Oh, this is happening here. This is happening there. Like, like, dude, like, I think this is worse than the Avengers one.
It is. And again, so who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to a friend of ours, Bob. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what is going on with Spider-Man? Why is everybody going so nuts? I'm like, this is literally the first movie where we're going to be really dealing with everything that's happened in Wanda, that's happened in Loki, that's happened in Captain America. You know, everything that's gone on the Disney Plus shows for the last year, 2 years, this is the first time we're actually going to see it big screen. And I think that's the biggest part, you know. And then, of course, it is Spider-Man. And then, you know, the fact that they did hint at least one Spider, you know, one former actor's coming back. I was like, that's where it is. You're getting introduced to the multiverse finally, but then you're getting nostalgia with it as well, and not our nostalgia. Yeah, we're being forgotten right now, right? Our 80s time is done. Ghostbusters as best as we're gonna get now. But now they're hitting, you know, my son's age. You know, this is hitting nostalgia for my son, because he was all about the freaking Spider-Man and Toby. That was him. Yeah, that's when he, cut me deep. I tried to get him into Superman. No, sir. He turned into a Spider-Man fan in front of me, and my ex-wife laughed at me. So now it's, and again, that's like I'm saying, this is their time for their, that generation's time is now coming for nostalgia because they're going to see their both their Spider-Mans they grew up with.
It's so strange you say that because when I saw Batman, like the 60s series, when I was very young, and I was like, oh, yeah. And it's like now we've gotten to that point because, you know, years later I saw Batman when I was an adult. I was like, oh, man, that's like the same thing that's going on in this generation. Like back ago was like, you know, the 60s Batman is that the Toby series. And now like, holy shit, it's coming around to this point. I think it's fucking fantastic. I mean, I'm just wondering how many Spider-Men are going to be in this movie.
Again, I mean, that's why I'm just waiting. I'm not guessing. I don't, you know, all the like, well, did you see which way that guy moved? Because there's somebody standing over there.
Well, what was the one with the lizard that you showed me, like the fist, and he's going like this?
Well, yeah, but my thing is at the same time when you're looking at it, there's something exploding to his right. So his right. Head's going to go to the left. My head would go to the left. If something's blowing up, I'm going to go like, oh, that. That's almost what it looks like. I still say it's John Cena. You just can't see him.
Oh, my God.
I'm putting money down on it. It's the Peacemaker. It's the Peacemaker. We're having the ultimate crossover.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? That'd be freaking wild seeing him walk on the streets with freaking Eagly. By the way, I cannot wait to see that series. That series looks hysterical.
Yeah, we're going to get that soon, too, yeah.
And I was, dude, I was totally against John Cena being an actor, too, for the longest time. But now I'm like, oh, maybe he found a role he can fit.
He found his mark, I mean, and now he can just go off of it and build off of that. But so it's
he's Fred's dad.
Yeah. He's one of the Toretto brothers. Come on, man. It's all my family. Dude, he was okay in that movie. But it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. No. What'd you think about our buddy, our friend, Alan Richson has moved away. We're not going to see him on Titans anymore. He's been cast for Reacher, for Jack Reacher series. Yeah.
Well, he looks like the Reacher from the comic. He's more bigger like him instead of like wimpy Tom Cruise. But yeah, I dug it. Very military. It reminded me of A Few Good Men in a way.
Yeah.
That's
what was there a Jack Reacher comic book?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's based off of Lee Childs, is what that's the author. It's their actual novels.
Are you sure about that?
I am positive that the Reacher series are novels. Yeah, written by Lee Childs.
I really thought that was one by
you want to challenge the one book reader in here?
Okay.
Yeah, but no, you may have seen a comic book. I don't know. I've never seen it. I never got into the Reacher books, but I know what they are and you know who wrote them. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, the Tom Cruise one. It was just like they just changed the title from Mission Impossible, you know, 12 to Jack Reacher.
All it was.
Yeah,
yeah. All that's, it was. Yeah.
That's yeah. There's certain times you have a character that repeatedly goes into like an action series, and don't change much about them. It's the same character, like Arnold and Stallone, because you changed what they were, you know, were these badasses, but you changed what they were, why they were a badass, you know, a former, you know, special forces officer who gets his daughter kidnapped. Okay. There's that one. And then you get, you know, the one he played in Predator so they were like still military, but they were different. There was different baggage with them. To me, Cruise playing Jack Reacher was the same fucking thing. But I'm a fan. I was a fan of Alan Richson. I mean, I just everything I've seen him do so far, I'm I was a fan of, and I can't wait to see what he does on Reacher.
Yeah. I'm gonna miss him on Titans.
Yeah, but. I'm gonna miss him on Titans too. But I think that character, it was time for him to go. He had a rough enough life, and it made the perfect villain. I mean, the way he went was perfect.
It was cool. It was cool the way he went. I just like I kind of want to see him, you know, longer. But, you know, I get it. They're probably bringing somebody new for Titans in next year anyway, so.
Let's hope. But yeah, let's cross our fingers.
Yeah, I wonder, like, who do spoilers one day.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Titans, have you watched Young Justice, the last season of Young Justice?
Did you finish it? Let's talk, dude.
Sorry, Melissa. I know you're here. You're joining us. I don't know if you've watched Young Justice. It's an amazing DC animated where they take – the younger crowd that you take the Young Flash, Robin, Superman, or no, that you find Superboy. But it's just this younger, your younger generation coming into their own. And what's great about it, it's been 4 seasons and they literally have jumped like decades. Like after the end of season one, I think they jump 8 years. And then after, like they don't go year to year to year. They like actually see these people age. And I think it's really cool. But
I dig, dude, I dig that part of Young Justice. That I like when they age, like, you know, season one, they were one age and then 11 years and nine and all that. You see the,
yeah, and it's different. It's not geared for kids. This is for,
no, it is not a kid.
It can be kiddy, but it's, there are some adult themes to it, but it's really
good. I think it's very adult relatable right now. I mean,
relatable. Yes. It's not geared only for adults. It's adult relatable and child relatable, I think. So that's why I love
it. Kind of dark. I mean, but this season, dude, I gotta be honest, man. I don't like it. I do not like it.
Have you finished it?
I have finished up to the point where it happens to Connor.
Then don't speak yet, just yet. Not saying not saying you're wrong. Finish the series.
All right.
I'm not happy with Connor. Again, you know me. All right. You know who my,
that's what I'm
know,
saying.
You know where my loyalties lie. So when I'm telling you the season got better.
Okay.
All right. He doesn't come back, so I'm not putting that saying, oh, it got better because, you know, what happens. All right.
That's really?
Yeah, that's there. That's there. That's done. But what continues? Wow. Yeah, what continues is the next 4 episodes in the series cover the healing, but it goes back and you're revisiting the Cheshire Cat. You're going back and revisiting with Artemis, and it's revisiting stories that happened season 2, I think, about how Artemis and Cheshire were sisters, and you're seeing that connection, and it's really great. I love what they did to Batman. It's a Batman female hero.
Barbara Gordon?
No. One of the other Robins.
It was a spoiler?
Spoiler, thank you. They take her and they make her – they call her Orphan, and she's in this all-black costume. She doesn't speak. And I become a massive fan of Orphan, and when I had to like – I was like, I've never heard of Orphan. Who's this Batman character, Orphan? And I looked it up, and it's spoiler, but the way they treat her, it's like amazing. So finish the series out.
Lady Shiva's daughter, dude. I thought that was kind of metal.
Lady Shiva shows up.
Oh, does she?
Oh, yeah. And somebody else is introduced, but he's too young to be to deal with anything.
Is it good?
Well, no, you won't like it. It's the one Batman thing you will not like. But he's only a baby, so don't worry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I always hate Watch.
Oh, boy.
He hates Damian Wayne. So. But yeah, Damian shows up as a baby. He's not even a factor. He's just on fucking, you know, Talia's hips. That's all it is.
No, I saw him. They showed him already.
Yeah, just finish watching the series out of the season out. It gets so much better in what they do. And then you see Garth dealing with some heavy shit because of what happened, you know.
Mm. So, that hit Garth hard.
Yeah. Shit. And it continues throughout the rest of the series, and he finally comes to terms with it, and like somebody literally sits him down, you know, and just gets him right in his life. And you see Superman dealing with it too, which is like a really poignant thing.
Because he
was always distant to the kid.
Yeah.
And then he brought him in,
And then he broke down. I was like, shit. Like, you didn't like him before. Now, what did this whole likability happen?
Yeah. And you'll see more of him kind of coming to terms with everything and an introduction of somebody else. Another one that's still a baby. So that's why I'm hoping they continue and go to the next generation for the next season.
I hope so.
They have. So. But really good. Yeah, Melissa, if you get a chance to watch it. Yeah, it's on HBO Max. That, and if you've never watched the Harley Quinn series, oh, my God. So good.
And watch that first.
Yeah, watch Harley Quinn first. Harley Quinn, and by the way, when I tell you this, do not watch in front of the kids.
No.
Okay.
The language. Even me, I got uncomfortable. I'm like, she said what? It's the girl that does Harley Quinn's voice is Kaylee Cuoco from Big Bang Theory. Penny?
Oh, yeah.
So she does. Awesome. She does Carly's voice, and she does a beautiful job on it. I think there's, 2 seasons? For it right now, they're getting ready to drop a third season. I think next year.
Oh, it's a new one.
No, it's 2 years. I mean, it's been out for so there's at least 2 seasons out. They're small. They're like I think 8 episodes, but it's so good. It's Harley how you want her to be. She's fun. She's just raunchy, but the rest of the cast is hysterical. You have
Clayface and the little mutant dude. What is his name? The magician guy.
I can never remember his name.
Oh my god, who was that?
And then, dude? Then you have Poison Ivy, and Poison Ivy has a pet pet plant that is the best one. He's the most.
Was it Oscars? I forget
yeah,
his
he's
name.
The most foul mouth. I'm gonna have to. I'm, now I'm talking about. I'm gonna have to watch it tonight. Yeah, he is the most foul mouth character of them all. But yeah,
just, he is hysterical, yeah. Man. Yeah, but I love, to me, Clayface is awesome.
Yeah, Clayface, because he's an actor. I'm an actor.
He's an actor. Like, he's so ridiculous. He's like, I talk like that. I'm like, dude, what? It's you must you gotta watch it.
This is why I have you guys. I didn't even know that this was
out. Yeah, it came out, I think, back when it COVID came out. Thing. No, it came out pre-COVID, but no, I think it was back when it was DC Unlimited or Universe or whatever it was, when all the DC shows were on the DC app. Now that HBO's got it, it's all over on the HBO system, so you can watch it there.
I agree. So, yeah, it's awesome. But watch that one first, Melissa, because that's
– it's fun. Yeah, if you want a good laugh, yeah. Yeah, laugh. Partake in something special and watch.
It's – trust me, hysterical.
Yeah. And I guess I got one more question for you. Have you read where John – the Punisher star, John Bernthal, he's not interested in returning just yet. He will if they don't water down Frank Castle. He's afraid that Disney's going to, my favorite word, wussify him. You know?
I think it depends what happens if you get Kingpin. Yeah. If you get Kingpin and you treat him still like it's still badassery, but you know you want to include him in your MCU, that'll be the telltale for John. And I think he'll be like, oh, you know what? They handled him well.
Yeah. They're just kind of questioning. He's like, you know, somebody asked him about it. He's like, would you be interested? You know, because of course, you know, the talk that possibly Kingpin is coming back, the talk that Matt Murdock might be coming back in the new Spider-Man, because there's been hints that Daredevil might be in the new Spider-Man movie as well. So there's, you know, he's because, you know, Bernthal's out there right now doing, I think it's for King Richard, the new Will Smith movie that's coming out with about, what's her name? Serena and
Serena
the sisters of movies, but he's in there as well. So, but somebody asked him about it. He's like, I would be interested, but as long as it's not watered down. And you saw Punisher, right, on Netflix?
That was
did you ever watch it, or just the episodes he was in with the rest of them?
The Punisher, his own standalone show.
Did you watch that?
I only watched, I think, the beginning, and then I wasn't interested.
It's dark. It is really dark. It deals with uncomfortable subject matter.
Is it a hot take to say that I liked the movie?
Which movie? This is very very sensitive area. There have been three Punisher movies out.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I liked one of them.
You had one from the early 90s that Kane and I have already done on our watch along.
Check out the archives. That was
the Dolph Lundgren one. And then you had the Punisher that came out early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Probably that one.
And that was Thomas Jane, which I'm a huge fan of Thomas Jane. He can do no wrong in my book. I'm sorry. And then there was Punisher War Journal that came out. That was eight years ago?
Man. Yeah, that was Ray Stevenson, man.
Ray Stevenson, yeah. So there have been three that had been out, so we'll let you ride with that. You just liked one of the movies, so we'll just go with that.
I should enjoy all.
It was the 2004
Warzone.
Was that Warzone? Was that war? Yeah. Was it Punisher Warzone?
It's Punisher Warzone. Yeah, that's Ray Stevenson.
It just said the Punisher.
I think that's Thomas Jane.
I think 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's Voltron. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah.
And again, I love that one. I thought that was a good one again. But like I said, I'm partial to anything he does.
Like I said, I have a new appreciation for the older one. So
we did.
If you listen to it, it's like literally you could think that I would crap on this movie, but I didn't.
I was waiting for it. I had the bucket ready to go,
I found something good in it. I found like a lot of good stuff in that movie. Like, oh man, like they didn't have to change. I think it was one scene we were watching where like these ninjas came out and like, dude, the only thing you have to do right here is just calm the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. And you had everything set up. So
yeah, they had everything set up. So, and again, I think it's always one of those things. Just like I said, I just went back and I reread the original Thrawn trilogy. And I think in our heads, we have this imagination or memory of a certain time in a certain place. And a lot of it gets like beaten down by outside influences over the decades. because everybody screamed about how great Thrawn was. And when I reread the three books,
you were like, meh.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, it was good. But again, at the time, you got to realize at that time when that book came out, we had nothing else. We had three movies. We had a holiday special that like tanked. And we had, I think by then we had the droid series, like animated droid, the horrible.
That came later, and the Ewok movies were right in the middle.
Yeah, and the Ewok. So we didn't have a lot of more things to deal with Star Wars. And this was a continuing journey of what we grew up with and what we loved. And I think because
it took place right after the original trilogy, I believe, too.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, the kids weren't born yet. So I think maybe like 4 years or so. I think if I remember the time frame right, it wasn't right afterwards. Luke had already started his school. He was putting it together.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking it was like honestly, I want to say it was Mandalorian time. If we really want to delve down into like the time frame, I think it was almost Mandalorian time.
Okay.
But I think we were just there was a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We were starved, and there was a vacuum. These books came out, and nothing against Zahn. Timothy Zahn's an amazing writer. He's probably the greatest gift that other than Lucas and Filoni that's come to Star Wars.
Well, for the longest time, it was him that kept Star Wars alive.
Yeah, well,
through
it. Not really. Well, series, he doesn't have a lot. So, just so you know, I mean, those three novels were what it was, and that's what we all lived off of for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that's just all it was. We were starved for attention, and then we got more. We got the Legends books and all these other things piled on and made it great. But when you go back and actually look and you're like, I think what they did with the new book series, I think is a little bit better. And again, Zahn did it. So I think it's a way for him to do the Lucas thing and retouch up his original story and go, I kind of would have rather have gone this direction. And that's what he did. But and you look at what Filoni did in Rebels, and I think it's just as good. So like I said, I think if people go back and listen, I'm sure I've got a lot of people yelling at me right now saying, screw you, Mike, you don't know what you're talking about, but go back and read the books. Literally, I read them 2 months. Like I finished them 2 months ago. And that was the main reason why. It's like in my head, I know I've romanticized something. I know me from my youth. I romanticize things. When we go back and visit something from our youth, we're like, ooh, that wasn't as good as I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back and watch some of those cartoons we grew up on. You're like, oh man, G.I. Joe, that was so fun. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I like this. And I think that's just what it is with Star Wars, which again, that's somebody else can go back and read it and feel completely different because it maybe hit them in a different spot than it hit me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
All right. So, but that's it, guys. You guys got anything?
Did you watch this season of Batwoman yet?
No, I told you. I cut the rope.
Sorry.
Yeah, season one was my rope.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Into season two. I didn't get finished season two. I cut the rope at season two. I was like, nope, I can't do it. I'll let Kane do it.
So I basically
because I knew you were going to hate watch it.
I can totally hate watch it because I just like to hate watch it. Like, yeah. Why is this? Why
Melissa,
is this?
Have you watched Batwoman?
No, I was going to say I cut the rope of CW like years ago.
Wow. Don't do that. Definitely Superman and Lois. Superman and Lois.
I'm sorry. Except for that, I'll have to check that one out.
Hit Superman and Lois. Because... That one hits differently. Yeah. It's not your typical. Just like Stargirl, not your typical CW. Although you would think it was, but when you watch Stargirl and the Superman Lois, yeah, they hit differently. They don't follow that same formula that you're used to.
Did you finish Stargirl?
No, not this. No, I started Yellowstone. So
how's that?
Good shit right there. Yeah.
Sorry, What's it about? I mean, I don't know much
about it.
It's about a
ranch in Montana, the family that owns it, and just all the drama around their area, the local reservation. They want their property back. Then you have casino and airport builders who want to build in their property, and it's just imagine. Dude, yeah, it's
that sounds maddening.
It's deep, man. It's some deep shit, and it's some great actors as well, man. You got Kevin Costner as like the head. He's the family man, the head of the family, and just the rest of the cast is just hands down amazing. And you would think a lot of this stuff, you'd be like, man, this is kind of boring dialogue, but the way these people present it and put it out there, it's hands down amazing stuff.
Is it anything relatable to like Ozark? Have you watched Ozark, where it's kind of, you think it's slow, but it's actually
not
really,
really
good?
No, no. The best way I could describe this, I would have put this in like like a more realistic Dallas, not all the fucking not all the sleeping around shit going on, but like the back and forth of the business part of it, and them trying to keep this ranch alive. Yeah, it's deep.
It sounds like cool.
So it's really good. I kept putting it on I kept putting it off. Finally, like somebody's like, "Oh man, it's, you know, season four is getting ready to start." I'm like, "Crap, I got to get into this. I can't be like four seasons back." So I was only three, and there were about 10 episodes a piece. So I was like, and I just like really burned through them really quick.
Well, like 45 minutes each, about an hour.
About that, yeah, because they originally air on the Paramount Network, but you can catch the back series or the back seasons on Peacock. Mm-hmm. So they're all there, yeah. And I just burned through them. I just could not get enough of them. You know how I am with my reading, my ravenous books. Mm. I was taking days off of reading because I wanted to get through this and get caught up.
So let me get back to Batwoman real quick before we get out of here.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's cool. That's what we do here. So this season begins like with the whole – I want to set it up. It begins with all the Batman trophies you're missing, right? So basically she has to go out there and get all these Batman trophies from where they got. Like the first episode, somebody was wearing the Mad Hatter hat, claiming he was the Mad Hatter, but like it was actually the hat that was making the Mad Hatter. That was kind of cool. You had like the tooth. Somebody got like ripped with the tooth of Killer Croc, and he mutated into like another croc. I was like, you know, that's not too bad. But then you have this, one of the main chicks in the show. She's like the sister. I think she's the Asian girl. She gets – they never mention how it happened. But somehow she got like pricked by one of Poison Ivy's vines, and she's slowly becoming like another Poison Ivy. It's just a little, what's going on here? And the stories they mentioned about Batman, like, oh yeah, he murdered the original. Like, why does Batman have to commit so much murder in this universe? That's what bugs me. Like, he supposedly killed the Joker. Now he killed the original Poison. Why does he need to be a murderer? I don't get that. Like, I get that Batman is not there. I dig it. But, you know, come on now. They trash him. They get every chance they get, they trash him. It just bugs me a lot.
Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped watching it on that. They crapping on the legacy. It's something you and I have talked about other shows and movies. It's like you guys are building a show on a legacy that you didn't take. You're standing on the shoulders of other people and other people's works. And then you just unzip and just crap on it.
Like, it's no. Like, look at Superman when she was in Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Supergirl kicked his ass. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, again, I you and I've talked about that in the books and in general. Supergirl is stronger than Superman. That's always been a given. That's the lore. Shit. So her kicking his ass didn't surprise me. But the fact that she was taking all of his villains and like just I was like, come on, guys, show some, you know, recognize what you're standing on. And again, we talked about the Ghostbusters, the female led Ghostbusters, about they did a movie, but they didn't show respect and show what they were standing on. They used them as a joke. Even the cast. I mean, even Bill Murray, when he showed up to do his little cameo, it was a joke.
He didn't care.
He didn't even act. If you actually watch his scene, he didn't even act. He just was like, there.
Dude, like Dan Aykroyd was in that film. He had like a little cameo as a cab driver.
Yeah, he was a cab driver.
And then he mentioned like one of the lines from the old Ghostbusters movie, and I was like, what?
But then he said, well, hey, who are you going to call or something? Yeah.
Yeah, who are you going to call? Something stupid.
And again,
that's
why the new Ghostbusters is so great. It's like they're standing on the shoulders of these prior movies and these actors and these writers, but they are showing love and respect, and I mean a great heart tug of what they did. I mean,
I'm
not going to lie. Kane's not going to lie. We both kind of teared up in the movie.
So. I teared up, man. I was like, cause it was sweet. It was like even both scenes, like that one and the one after when he, you know, what happens, but like, God damn, you had to do that. Like the way they shot that scene with like, Melissa, when you see it, you're gonna well up, man, because I think there was no dry eye.
If you love the first two, if you like the Ghostbusters 1 and 2, there's gonna be you'll have a little lump in your throat. If not, you don't. You have no heart. Damn you.
Well, if you don't cry, then you really have no heart. I was like, yeah, right. I ain't gonna cry.
No, you went. I have no soul. I was like, I didn't say anything about a soul. You got a heart though.
Yeah, I got a heart though.
So, guys, make sure you check us out this coming Friday. By the time this comes out, so it'll be a few days. Kane and I will be out at the KaiserCon. It's at Kaiser University here in Orlando. It's at 436 and the 417. I think tickets are like $5 to get in. What we're going to be there on Friday from 4:30 to 8, and then on Saturday I think it opens back up around 9 or 10, and that goes all the way
to 4, I think.
Yeah, 10 to 4 or something like that. So we're going to be out there. We're going to be running around, seeing everybody, saying hi. So if we're not at our table, I'm going to try to keep one of us at our table, you know. But if we're not there, we're around. Message us on Facebook, you know, say, hey, you guys, we're here. Let's, you know, hang out or something. But yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to be, we're going to be running around. Hopefully, so I'm going to have Melissa. That's one reason I wanted Melissa here tonight. Hopefully, she'll be, she'll join us. I don't know what day, probably Saturday for Melissa.
Yeah.
Bring the kitties. There are all sorts of things to do for the kitties, guys. There's a whole bunch of stuff. If anybody's on our Facebook page, check it out. I've got the itinerary or the agenda that they said on there, but there's so many people out there. I want to throw a cane over to talk to Finger.
Took a ball cancer. Yeah. Yeah, Bill Finger's daughter, granddaughter.
No,
yeah.
I'm not sending you over to talk to Ball Cancer Kid. What?
What?
Watch it. There's a movie called Supercon.
Oh, dude, that movie is so good.
You introduced it to me.
Oh, so, my yeah. God. I remember, that's like the girl who was in the Taken series. She was the one who got kidnapped.
Yeah.
She's in it. And, dude, have you ever seen that movie, Melissa?
No.
Look it up. It's hysterical. Dude. Yeah, it's hysterical.
It's an underrated gem.
Yeah. All right, guys. So make sure you guys do check us out there. We will be out there this coming Friday. And make sure you guys do check out Heroes Asylum here. We've got Midnight Movies. We're still doing our Matrix month this month. We're going to leading up to the new release that's coming out on the 22nd. So we've already dropped the first Matrix. This Wednesday, we're going to be dropping the Animatrix. And then Kane and I are going to do the last two the rest of the week. And also,
which
check
ones
out,
are we doing? Oh, yeah, we're doing Okay.
And then make sure you guys do check out Kane and Melissa's podcast. The links will be added to the bottom of the show notes here. So if you guys want to follow them, click the link. It'll get you over there. And Kane, yep,
check out that Baptism of Thrones and check out Midnight Movies. We have a lot of fun there, a lot of archive stuff on there, which is really, really cool. And actually, I've been re-listening to it last couple days, and I'm just dying hysterically. I'm like, dude, that was like, what? If you've never listened to that, check out Midnight Movies. It's like it's a gem. Trust me.
Thanks. All right, guys. We will see
Thanks
you next week.
Me.
Oh no, and you're coming back. Don't even think this.
Get to the asylum, kids. Bye.
It was fun. Bye.